the managing general of the Calgary Flames. Brad Treliving is with us. Mr. Treliving, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Fine, thank you. Let's start with the decision to make the change. It's never easy. Did you have some reluctance to make the change given the time frame that Gullitson had to implement his system, assuming that's the right terminology?
Yeah, no question, Bob. It was a real difficult decision on a number of fronts. Become real close with Glenn. I think he's a real good coach. I think he's smart, he's detailed, great individual. And as I said, when we made the change, this isn't our underperformance this year is not just solely responsible and pointing the fingers at the coach or the other changes we made in the coaching staff. It really starts with myself, and there's blood on everybody's hands here. I talk about our players, and there's accountability that belongs with them. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we felt a change was in order. And if you look back on the history here, Bob, we've gone through, you can't keep the churn going. You can't be in a situation to expect to have success by, changing the leadership at the coaching position every 2 years. So there's a lot that went into it. It certainly was a difficult decision, but one we felt in unison with the gentleman that has taken over, we felt that it was a change we needed to make.
Are you the kind? Is it your style to consult with others when you come to a decision like this? And would you even go, Brad, to any of the players and just get a sense from them, your captain, your key players, to get a sense of what they think? Or do you believe it's your decision solely?
No, ultimately, in my position, it's you have to make the call. We've got a lot of staff, and I think it's important in any decision, at least in my philosophy, is you consult, and that's why you have a staff, is to get input, to get thoughts, not just on this situation, but any decision that you're making. Ultimately, that's why you have a staff, and they're engaged, and they're smart, and they have opinions. And you want to have opinions, and it's not just my view of the world. So, of course, on something of this nature, we would consult with everybody. As far as the players, listen, I firmly believe you're always filtering a little bit of the information you're getting back from your players. I conduct, as I do every year, exit meetings with the players.
Right.
I don't necessarily get their advice, if you will, or input in terms of a change such as this. But I bounce a lot of things off the players. And like I said, I think in a lot of things you have to filter and disseminate sort of fact from fiction when talking with players. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but usually, specifically when it comes to coaches, if somebody's getting lots of ice time in a great spot, the coach is great. If they're not, then sometimes the coach isn't great. So you got to be careful of sort of what you pull from that. But I believe that you do cast a wide net in terms of your staff, get opinions, and then ultimately you have to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. What does Bill do that Glenn didn't do?
Well, I don't know if it's as easy as that, John. That one does, like I said, this isn't a...
The reason I ask it is because, and I mean, we've all been through it. We've all been fired. And every time you hear the next person get talked about, you wonder if that's a reflection on what you could or couldn't do. And I'm not suggesting for a moment, because I know how close you and Glenn were and are. But what's in Bill's toolbox that makes him the right guy for this team right now?
Well, as I said earlier, too, a lot of this is, you know, first and foremost, the step one is everybody taking accountability for it. You know, and I've had a lot of talks with the players before and since that decision was made, and talked about all of our parts that we all played in this. I think ultimately, when I look at Bill, the most important role of the coach is to maximize performance of the group, and I think there's his ability to push and maximize what we have here. Now, the manager and the hockey staff have to do their job in terms of finding ways to continue to improve the roster. That goes for every team every year. But when I sat down and looked at it, and having spent some time with Bill, albeit, you know, in a fairly short short tournament a couple of years ago, I've got a real good sense of his style. I've got a real good sense of how he deals with players, you know, how he goes about his business, and I thought it was going to fit real well with the group of players we have here.
And how will we see any other changes on this roster, do you think, based on even what you've said, is that there's accountability to everybody?
Well, sure. We're just starting the offseason right now. So to go out and make any proclamations about we're going to make this many changes or not, I think like any team, you got to get better. Mm-hmm. And we weren't good enough this year. Now, do I think that we need to go out and ship 20 guys out of town? No, I don't. But we've got to improve. And you improve a couple of different ways. Internal improvement. The core of this team is still, it's a young group, and so there's internal growth that we expect and anticipate and need to push over the course of the summer. And then there's external. There's external improvement. And if there's ways that we can improve the roster from the outside, obviously we're going to look at that. But no question, all of us need to be better. And I put myself at the front of that line, and that goes to the players, the coaching staff and the like. We need to improve the performance that we had this year.
I want to address something, Brad, that we in this situation, because it's something we rarely see. Peters was in Carolina and had a clause in his contract that allowed him to exit. That is not normal. I think you would concede that is an unusual scenario. So, how to put this? I don't want to get anybody in trouble or imply anything, but it is, you know, does he have to exercise that before you can even talk to him? Does he exercise that because he wants to get out of Carolina? Does he know that, you know, did you have to ask permission to talk to him before he exercised that clause? Help me with the chronology of events that took place.
Sure. And step one is obviously there was, I guess there was some knowledge and public knowledge about Bill's situation going back a few months. And, mm-hmm. and you're right. It is a unique situation or a unique clause, a contractual clause. I'm not sure I've ever seen one.
I don't remember one.
Potentially it could have, but I don't. So at that time when you find out about it and you're getting to the end of the year here and you're going through that process, you reach out to Carolina and make sure that in fact you educate yourself for what that clause is and you know, request permission to speak to Bill. And you know, I can't speak directly to all the things and the situation in Carolina. I do think that when you do have, as Bill's mentioned, when you have, you know, they've gone through an ownership change, they've gone, you know, obviously through a manager search right now, that there's new people coming in, that potentially a change at coaching or at the coaching position and new management wanting to bring in their own coach. I think there was obviously a potential appetite for that.
Yeah.
So they allowed Bill to, you know, look at other opportunities. And once we had an opportunity to speak to Bill, we were able to get something done in fairly short order.
Will we see you Saturday here?
Sorry, John?
Will we see you Saturday here at the draft lottery?
No, you won't. No, you won't.
Well, okay.
Should I ask why?
Well, no, because I don't think he has a draft pick anymore, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Well, that answers that question.
I just realized that after I asked the question, because we were talking about
it
today.
Don't take it personally. Anytime I have a chance to see you guys, it'd be great.
We're kind of pissed.
Brad, I do take it personally. I take it personally every time.
Yeah, man. I'm pissed too. All right, so have a nice time in Calgary then. Listen.
And hey, guys, I'd be remiss not to mention obviously all of us, all the things that have gone over, happened in Toronto the last 24 hours, obviously, with the events there. Know that your friends are thinking and saying a prayer for you here in Calgary, and wishing everybody there and all those people that were affected by that tragedy yesterday. We're thinking of y'all.
It's much appreciated. We thank you very much. And thanks for your time today, as always. We'll talk again soon, I hope. Thank you, Brad.
Okay, gents. Have a good day.